Good morning, everyone. Day 29. Kol hakavod, all the power to you for you guys staying with us this time. We're about to hit the message of the shofar. This year, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat. And one of the great things I always say is that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat and we don't blow the shofar on that day, we'll be blowing it, of course, on Sunday, on the second day. But it really shows the power of Shabbos. But now I want to speak to you about the power of the shofar. Because I began with the famous story of the great Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, great Hasidic leader, who was sort of interviewing Balei Tzkiah, people who would come to blow shofar in his shul. He wanted to have the best person. He wasn't just looking for someone with a powerful voice, but what are people thinking? What are the thoughts going through their minds as they're blowing the shofar? And some of the people who interviewed, trying to get the gig in his synagogue, share that they were thinking about the many halachot pertaining to the mitzvah. Others were meditating on some of the more mystical ideas underlying the sounds of the shofar, but there was one simple Jew. And I said this in the chapter. He said, I have a daughter. She hasn't yet succeeded in finding her husband. When I blow the shofar, I'm thinking about my daughter and praying that she finds the right person and that I have enough money to feed my family. And that's ultimately who Rav Levi Berdichev chose to be his Baal Tokeah, to blow the shofar in his shul, because a lot of it has to do with honesty and sincerity. And of course, that is the underlying theme, not only of shofar, but just of prayer and the high holidays. We don't have to be nervous as much as we should just try to be sincere and genuine about what we say and the prayers that we offer and what we're thinking about when the shofar is being blown. The shofar is considered the ultimate prayer. It's beyond words. Rabbi Soloveitchik said this, that it's a tefillah without words. It's just some things cannot be expressed in words, and that's what the sounds of the shofar are trying to represent. Now, I mentioned a couple of other interesting tidbits about the shofar that reflect other important messages for Rosh Hashanah. For example, I said the shofar has to be kafuf, which literally means bent over. It's not supposed to be perfectly upright, which is another symbol that when we pray, we should too appear before God humbly, a little bent over, as it were. Of course, we raise our voice before Hashem in prayer, but we don't come in sort of blasting away like so confident. We're sincere, we're genuine, we're humble. Another interesting halacha, Jewish tradition mentioned in the Talmud, about the shofar is what's called nistak la'arko pasul, which means that if there's a split in the shofar down the middle, that's going to be a problem. If the shofar is cracked in that kind of way, it becomes disqualified. And I heard this from my teacher, Rabbi Schachter, that similarly, it's sort of symbolic that when we come before God on the high holidays, we also can't allow ourselves to be split down the middle. We need to project a clear message with clarity and conviction. We need to articulate our goals. What are we shooting for in the coming year? And not sort of be wishy-washy, split down the middle. One last halacha that I mentioned in the chapter as well is that according to one opinion in the Talmud, it is permissible for the mouth of the shofar to be plated with gold. But if the gold starts impacting or affecting the sound, then there would be a problem with having some gold on the shofar. If the gold changes the tone or the sound. And another idea that I'd heard from the same teacher, Rabbi Schachter, is that we all have certain messages that we want to get out this year, whether it's to our families, our coworkers, our friends. And if the gold, representing the material, the money, changes the message, or it starts to change us, then there's a problem. And generally, of course, we need the gold. Ever since Adam sinned and God punished him, b'zeat hapecha tochel lechem, that with the sweat of your brow, you will earn your keep, right? We have to earn a living. And there's a certain integrity in earning an honest living, right? There's nothing wrong with pursuing the gold, right? Judaism doesn't look down on money or financial success, but we have to remember that money or financial success is just a tool for living a just and spiritual life. It's just a device for something greater, and money and material objects, the gold, should never be seen as an end in and of itself. So these are just certain messages having to do with the shofar. The question that I put at the end of the chapter, which I think is a good one to ponder today, is really, you know, what is it that you really want in the coming year that you can think about and pray for when the shofar is blown? It's an opportune time. The rabbis teach when the shofar is being blown and you're standing there, this will be on Sunday, please God, what do you want to think about? What is it that we really want to daven for, to have for this year? And also to express gratitude for what we had last year so that we can keep it up. It's very, very important not to simply pray for something new and different, but to just pray for the wonderful things that we have, that we should continue to be blessed with them, to show that we're grateful for them and we don't take them for granted. That is also something to ponder, to think about as the shofar is being blown. Have a great day.